Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Nine-game stretch versus Mets and Yankees back-to-back-to-back.
5-4, and if it's better than that, that's all icing.
Would you say 7-2? Like, that'd be kind of crazy. That'd be kind of crazy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
2-2. Called third strike, ball game over. Astros with a four-game home-and-home sweep of the New York Mets. Justin Verlander for 8 innings. Ryan Presley for the 9th. They close out a 2-hit shutout. Plummer, coming into this road trip, you would have easily taken 3-3. 4-2 with a chance to win all 6 games. Kind of unbelievable. The Astros defeat the Mets all 4 games this year. The National League's best.
That's right now.
I know why we're doing that show.
There you do. It's celebration time in here as the Astros fighting through injury, fighting through the bats cooling off a bit today. Big, big contributions from Mr. Castro, who hit the 2-run homer. It looks like Yuli is starting to feel a little bit better. And then Justin Verlander, ho-hum, 8 innings, no runs. Another dominating performance. 2 hits given up the whole game, 6 strikeouts for your potential Cy Young winner, Justin Verlander. We'll get to the other little more difficult news. But as you hear there, Clint, Tyler is 1 win away.
I can smell it.
I mean, 1 win away. Do you really feel the need to piggyback that?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest, man.
The point is, he just told us in the open that he's one win away.
Good. I mean, it's pretty
good. Lord, you two stroking each other.
And it's leading into, when is Tony coming on Friday?
Yes,
Tony Quinton leads right into Tony Friday. Yes.
TK just told you it's unbelievable. This is an absolutely beautiful. Right. You know, the crazy thing is, I'm going to do the math in the break show. Verlander gave up 2 hits today. Yeah. How many hits have they given up in this 8-game stretch so far?
I don't know. Framber gave up 6.
Well, I mean, there's yesterday. A few. Yeah, I mean, there's a few. But hell, Yankees went 16 in the third inning with no hits. Verlander just went 8.
Framber gave up 6 in his 8 yesterday, and then Paredes came out and just
gave up 2 and walked 2. Over an 8-game stretch, I wonder how many hits they've given up. I wonder how many hits the starters alone have given up.
Oh, the starters less than 10. Less than 15.
In 8 games. That's wild. That's wild, yeah. Man. Against the 2 teams in Major League Baseball with a better record than you.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a run here. Like I said, man, this team has shown a ton, much more. I mean, their pitching staff, I felt it was for real, but I thought it was very, very fair to watch. You know, for people like you who said, hey, man, I want to see them against better competition. And I thought that was fair, but I did believe that this staff would be doing these things against better teams. And they've even gone past my expectations and what I thought they would be. This rotation, and there's some things maybe you could add and clean up in the bullpen, but you just looked at Presley, like he had one bad, awful performance where he took a dump all over himself against the Yankees. But today he just went through the top of the order, Francisco Lindor and just struck him out looking and got Marte, who has been hot as well. He just went 1-2-3 and I don't know, what, 6-7 pitches in that ninth inning. So, I mean, this pitching staff is everything that they have been against good teams or bad teams.
10 pitches, 8 strikes. So, yeah, I mean, look, this was, once again, I mean, Justin Verlander, I mean, balling out of control is really the only thing that we've seen. Well, take it back. Justin Verlander balling out of control and Yordan Alvarez balling out of control were really the two things that were consistent in this 8-game run so far that you can say that you would have bet on.
That you already knew.
Altuve's been okay. I mean, it's not anything to write home about. He's been good. He's been Altuve. Pena missed a couple of games, came back, and he's healthy and he's doing okay. I mean, but you look at, like, Bregman. You look at Yuli Gurriel. Today, Castro. I mean, Myers gets back in the bigs and has a few hits over the last couple of days. I mean, it's you just got to feel good about where the Astros are at right now. Really, really, really good about where the Astros are at right now.
Nobody wants to face this pitching staff, especially this rotation. You start thinking about in a series. And the thing is, they can get better, and they can get better without making trades in the rotation. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, with Lance, they can get better without making a trade in their rotation. We were wondering if that's something they may have to do. This pitching staff is for real. And I think you brought up a really good point. Yuli, he is coming along and looking good. But we do have to get to the other news in this game. The other news in this game, in the eighth inning, a scary moment for the Astros. Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena collided. If you missed it, it sounded like this.
That one's popped high in the air. Jeremy Pena drifts out. Yordan Alvarez coming in, and they collide. Pena and Alvarez hit hard in shallow left field. Pena's still down, and he held on to the baseball. One of the two held on to the baseball. The out's been called. Both Yordan and Pena are down. Pena held on to the ball, but right now the big concern is the health of Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, right now you're just hoping that the shock of contact has knocked the wind out of him, that just takes a couple minutes to get that breath back. But if you're an Astro fan, this is worst-case scenario.
Absolutely. But Jeremy Pena, he did walk off on his own power, and they did bring out the cart to help Yordan Alvarez get back in. And the way that they were treating him, you've been out there, you've watched with your own eyes. It looked like they were concerned potentially for a concussion with Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, I think initially you're concerned for damn near anything because it was a nice little collision
you
out
said
there.
You saw his leg kind of get tucked under.
No. I said the good thing was you didn't. There was no issues with the leg. It looked like his hand may have hit underneath Pena's chin and kind of got rolled up. Maybe his wrist or thumb or whatever hand issue he was having. His right hand. I don't even know which one it was where he was having the issues, but nonetheless. They both end up getting up and shaking it off, and it looks like Yordan. It looked like Yordan, once he stood up, the way they were handling him was there was some contact to the head, and there could be some things that they just want to be very cautious with and get him back in the clubhouse and get him checked out. You two are absolutely killing me. I mean, you're absolutely killing me here.
Nobody's killing you.
You're
underselling.
I'm looking at show's timeline here, Twitter line here. Oh Lord, not Yordan.
And then right above
it, Tyler Milner. Terrible collision for the Astros. Pena and Yordan both laid out in New York. Damn. I mean, you two.
Dude.
I mean, what are y'all doing?
What are you doing?
I mean, what are we doing here? By the way, it's not valet. Valets park your car, you two. Chauffeurs drive you around.
Whatever. But the valet came out there to get you. That's a fair point. They come out there to get you.
Did you leave your keys in the car?
The keys. When it's time to leave, they come out there to bring the car around to get you. And apparently, they brought around the car
just to get it.
Let's hope so. I would not be surprised. In fact, I would lean towards believing the way it looked, concussion, that he is going to miss some time and maybe be on the IL.
Well, even if he's actually completely okay, you know Dusty's going to give him a day off just to be safe.
Or three,
yeah.
He's going to give him the day off, and you need that dub. You're going to need that dub.
That moment. Well,
oh, we're getting it,
baby. Pena's getting the day off, too. That moment he had with Alex Bregman with the glasses, that was.
I got to find out what's behind that.
So, some people are saying that he was checking his reflection in Bregman's glasses, trying to check out his mouth and his teeth.
Yeah, because it's
a mirror.
Yeah. Okay. That would make sense.
Let's hope that.
Hopefully he didn't just reach up there and try to two-hand strong-arm Bregman's goggles right off his head. Even though he could if he wanted to.
Bro, I need these.
Hey,
it's bright out here.
How many times have you ever, like, even like drunkenly joking around, been like, "Hey, show, let me get them glasses off your head." Just reached over there, been like, he has.
But I don't know, man. It's just the way that he pulled back.
Hey, what the hell are you doing? Wouldn't you pull back if you were on lunge at you with two hands?
That makes me think like he didn't know he was using it as a mirror. That's my thing. But hopefully they're all right. But the Astros 6-2 thus far on this this 9-game stretch that we've been talking about for weeks.
I smell 7, boys.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, this here today, the latest. This is day 2, Clint, of the Deshaun Watson hearings, and this coming the latest from Aaron Wilson. Deshaun Watson's disciplinary hearing continues today and possibly through Thursday, per sources. He is represented by the legal team, the Players Association, Jeffrey Kessler, Rusty Harden as well, and they are opposed by the NFL's legal team today. So this is day 2, Clint, as we're moving closer to potentially the hearings being over and then a decision being made.
Day 2, and we've already reached leaks that apparently aren't true and reports today by per sources. I mean, I don't know. It's just now getting started. This could take up to 2 weeks, as you said. There's no telling what kind of reports that we're going to hear and ultimately what ends up happening. I'm sticking to my guns with Deshaun Watson. It stays in the single-digit games that he's going to get suspended next year. I just have zero belief that the league is going to drop the hammer. Whether somebody believes he deserves it or not, I just have zero belief that the league's going to do that. I think they come out in that 8-9 game range. And we'll see, but get ready because the rumor mill and the per source mill and the leak, the NFL leaks and the Deshaun Watson, Rusty Harden leaks. I gotta believe if this thing gets drug out another week, they are gonna be hot and heavy.
Yeah, Mike Florio, he'll join us coming up at 3:35. We'll get our thoughts on him, maybe what he thinks now that we're in day 2 of how long this process will be. And I really want to know from him who's got the most decision making power here. Because I think there's a bit of confusion now. This new system now, is it Sue L. Robinson?
Is it
Roger Goodell? Because we heard ultimately Roger Goodell has this. That's something. Because I want to know who we need to put the decision to the feet of when it finally happens. That'll be interesting. So Mike Florio coming up here in about 20, 25 minutes or so.
Big 3 at 3, number 3.
All right, somebody, maybe we're going to hear from Rory McIlroy here coming up soon because Brooks Koepka, he finally speaks after going over, and he says the reason that he went over to the Live Golf movement, the tour there, is because more time for physical recovery. He said, "Just my opinion, man," Koepka said when asked what caused him to change his mind. "My opinion changed. That was it. You guys will never believe me." You're right. I added that in myself. But we didn't have the conversation till everything was done at the U.S. Open and figured it out and just said I was going one way or another. And here I am. The physical recovery is what Brooks is saying is the reason.
Yeah, look, I watched that whole press conference actually this morning, man. It was him, Patrick Reed, and Pat Perez, I believe is the guy's name, an older veteran, 40-something years old. And all three of them were singing the same song. I mean, it just the fact that they don't feel pressure to play every single event every single week because basically their point was they could decide whether they wanted to play or not. But if you decided not to play when you were on the PGA Tour, especially at Patrick Reed, really at all three of them pled the case of if you choose not to play, it could impact your FedEx scoring dramatically. Now, it's not going to impact Patrick Reed or Brooks Koepka to a point where they're not in the top 100, but Pat Perez is a guy that's 46 years old, and he was like 118 when his kid was born and couldn't leave a golf tournament and go watch his son be born, missed his son's birth. So that there's the time aspect of the Live Tour, which allows these guys to be off a lot more, less travel, no month road trip kind of thing. was what all three of these guys that what they were preaching this morning, and they were pretty adamant about it. Brooks Koepka was definitely on edge, though. Yeah, the other two were pretty.
He's waiting for Rory.
Well, the other two were pretty. They asked specifically about him, and he basically said everybody has their own opinion. They can believe what they want to believe.
Yeah, he is. All right, David Culley, the former Texans coach, spoke. Yeah, he spoke, and he spoke about Watson, Nick Caserio, Davis Mills, and Jack Easterby. We'll let you hear what the former Texans coach had to say coming up.
Thank you very much.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
You're jumping in. It's a celebratory Wednesday as the Astros win a little day baseball, 2-0.
The Astros, they're kicking ass and taking names.
I believe this is the case. Justin Verlander becomes the first 10-game winner in Major League Baseball with that win today, 2-0.
At over 12.5 wins for Verlander, I took before the season started as looking nice. Money.
I am happy.
Why would that upset you that I'm going to win money?
Man, he is. I can't lie, man. He has really, really had a good streak going. With the exception of the Celtics, but I don't really fault him. He's not watched any of their games. But
love that money.
Exception of the Celtics. Well, he's really had a nice little streak going. But Verlander, he gets a win. 8 innings, no runs, 6 hits. Or 2 hits, excuse me. And no runs, 6 strikeouts. The Astros went 2-0 on a late two-run homer by Jason Castro. So they win 2-0. They are 6-2 in this 9-game stretch thus far through 8 games. They play one more tomorrow against the Yankees back here at Minute Maid. So here we go as the Astros are rolling through even more. All right, Clint, David Culley, the former Texans head coach last year, he spoke on Outkick and had some thoughts about several topics with the Texans. And he spoke about his conversation that he had with Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio, the GM who hired and then fired him after a year. He spoke about what that was like when he was fired by Nick Caserio. I want to see if you all buy what David Culley is trying to sell here.
I sat down with Nick, the general manager, and he said that I think I'm going to go in a different direction. And I says, fine. I says, we talked, and he says, well, what's the reason? He said, philosophical differences. From that point right there, I says, that's fine.
What do you think is different about your philosophy with that of Nick Caserio?
Oh, well, I think Nick and I were on the same page going into the year with everything that was going on. I think in the end, when the season was over, they wanted me to do some things with my staff I was not going to do. I didn't feel like I needed to do. And in the end, 2 days later, after having that conversation, I was fired.
But it had to be more than just philosophical differences, didn't it?
I'm not sure. I never had the conversation. That was the only conversation I had. I never really got into it. I've been in the business long enough to know that when those guys make a decision, the decision is made. At that point, it didn't matter to me why. They didn't want me anymore to be there. And that was okay. I'm going to leave it at that.
That was added in by Tyler at the end. I'm going to leave it at that. But that was David Culley staying pretty true to what he has said about his account with how it went down when Nick Caserio moved on and went another direction.
Well, I mean, I got a couple of things. Nick is the philosophical differences. I mean, come on, man. I mean, we know. I mean, it's blatantly obvious why you had to make a move at that point in time. You couldn't let this thing, this snowball, continue to roll downhill for another year. It was much worse than you expected it to be. You can lean on philosophical differences if you want to, but it was much bigger than that. I mean, it clearly David Culley was not suited to be a head coach in this league and was out over his skis.
Oh,
much,
my goodness.
Much less handle the dysfunction that the Houston Texans were and to some degree have continued to be.
Do you, off something else he said, do you really think it went down like, hey, want you to make some changes on your coaching staff?
No.
And then he didn't make any change, and then he said, I refuse to make any changes. Like, they were going to keep him if he made changes to the coaching staff.
I think he pushed back. He pushed back when they said, hey, we're making a move with Tim Kelly, and we're making a move with these couple of coaches. I guess one of them had been the offensive line coach, and one of them was Tim Kelly. And, you know, I would imagine that he told him that he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go fire those guys and would rather not do it. And at that point in time, Nick is in a spot where David Culley is in no way, shape, or form bringing anything to the table to where he can push back on their decisions and that they need to make to get the organization moving in the right direction. And so at that point in time, instead of keeping David Culley, they put him in the same box with Tim Kelly and said, it's time for both of you guys to move on. So, look,
I feel like he was in that box anyway.
Where do I go?
I agree. I mean, look, here's the thing with David Culley is if it did go down like that, like how – like, at what point did David Culley decide that he was going to walk in there and tell Nick or anybody that he didn't hire the staff anyway? Like, what all of a sudden
you're going down for Tim Kelly? Like, they didn't even have that.
Right.
They didn't even have a relationship.
No.
Like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's I don't know.
Maybe he loves hard.
That's an interesting dynamic of I think I'm with you. I think David Culley, they were looking for a reason to fire him anyway. But if it did go down like David Culley said it went down with this philosophical difference thing, like at what point in David Culley's tenure in Texas, the 1 year with the Texans, at what point did he feel like he had enough stroke to walk in there and tell Nick Caserio he was or wasn't going to hire or fire somebody?
What do I do?
Like, I, you know what I mean? Like that, he never struck me as that guy. I mean, he was a puppet from jump.
Yeah.
And to think that he was in there bowing his neck for a coach of, I don't care what coach it is, for any coach, yeah, it's tough for me to believe
to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I don't
may have pushed back a bit and just kind of voiced his opinion of what he did or didn't want to do, and that gave Nick the opportunity to say, it's philosophical differences. He got to get out of here. It gave him something to document why he fired him.
Yeah.
I doubt that Culley went in there bowing his neck up on the organization.
I can't see that.
I mean, I would respect him if he did. I mean, I would respect David Culley if he would have bowed his neck a bit and said, look, I ain't going to play these silly-ass games with Deshaun Watson.
Drew a blank on me.
I'm not going to go up there and relay your message and appear to be nervous every time I speak to the media because you want me to relay some silly ass message that everybody out there knows isn't the case.
If he said that, but if he said, hey, Tim Kelly stays.
Right.
If you want me, then I don't have the respect for that. If he came out and said, Tim
I don't mean
said,
Tim Kelly himself. I just mean the guts to stand behind whatever you believe.
But if it says here you wanted me to do some things in my coaching staff that I didn't want to do, if his thing was saying it's me and Tim, or
where
neither
do I
one
go?
Of us, then he's lost his damn mind.
Oh, where I'm with you. Yeah, if we're talking about protecting, putting your job on the line
for Tim Kelly.
Yeah, for Tim Kelly.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense.
He also spoke about his relationship with Jack Easterby and the role that Jack Easterby played when he was here.
How involved in football was Jack Easterby, and how comfortable were you with his role?
Very comfortable with Jack. Jack basically was not involved in the football part of it per se. He was involved in more so the administrative, travel, our training room, our weight room, our player development. But as far as the actual football, Jack was never involved in that. And also, Jack was very positive. Jack was a very good ally of mine when I was down there. I enjoyed working with Jack.
I'm a high-five guy.
Jack was an ally.
Enemies and allies were playing here. I'd be interested for him to
voice who the enemies were.
Yeah, to voice who
what the hell you need an ally for?
You're right. Yeah, look, that doesn't surprise me with Jack. I mean, I don't think Jack is involved in game planning. I don't think Jack is involved in play calling. I don't think Jack is involved in any types of game management, clock management. I don't think he's involved in any of that stuff. I don't know anybody that does believe that he's involved in any of that stuff. Now, the problem with Jack is not what everything that you just heard David Culley say. Those are things that Jack should be doing. It's A-okay for Jack to be doing those things. But I believe that when you look into the player development perspective, I believe Jack is heavily involved in the way that the Texans draft or acquire free agents with the use – or at one point he was. I don't know if he is at this point. But he was – I think he was heavily involved in – the character and the types of players that are brought in here, I believe Jack had an influence on that in a big, big way. I think he was involved in the kind of guys they drafted, and he was involved in the kind of guys they bring in here and put in the locker room. Those are football decisions, not X's and O's decisions. Those are personnel decisions. So what David Culley mentioned there, in season, that's what Easterby should be doing. The problem with Easterby, to my knowledge, with everybody that has a problem with Easterby, is where his involvement in the war room, in the draft, the involvement in the player personnel department, if you will, which I still firmly believe at one point he was involved in a big way.
Yeah, Jack the ally. There you go, Jack the ally. All right, coming up, Mike Florio. He'll join us of Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. He's as keyed in and tied in the NFL and everything that has happened with Deshaun Watson as anybody. We'll get from him. All right, is the league trying to play what he's called a bit of a rope-a-dope with the Deshaun Watson situation publicly? We'll discuss that next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, as we are sitting here, once again, the Astros get a win today, and they are rolling through the Yankees and Mets. Four-game sweep, home and road sweep of the Mets, and they got one more to go in this nine-game stretch against the Yankees. But it is also day two of the Deshaun Watson hearing to determine potentially what his suspension or punishment will be. And joining us now as we head to the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline is our guy, Mike Florio, a guy we always turn to when we need to get some understanding of things. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. Once again, guys, seriously, head to Amazon.com and order the Florio book, Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works and Doesn't. It's out now. Great book. Go ahead and check that out. Mike, the first thing I want to get to here is I'm wondering from you how much or how important are optics for the NFL in this Deshaun Watson situation? Because they have been pretty strong on things being out about them pushing for, you know, indefinite suspension, a year's suspension, seeming to be pretty strong on it. How important optics-wise do you think this decision is for the NFL?
Oh, I think it's critical because it was back in 2014 when the optics were that the NFL was too lenient on Ray Rice when initially he was suspended two games for knocking out his then-fiancé in an Atlantic City elevator. And then several weeks after that, the video emerged of what it was that Rice had actually done, what it looked like, and all hell broke loose. And the commissioner spent about a week and a half of his life wondering whether or not he's going to lose his job. So I think it was very important for the NFL to always have a strong PR component to situations like this and to never create the impression that they're going too lightly on a player who commits an act of violence or sexual misconduct or any other type of misbehavior against a female anywhere.
Mike, what are your thoughts on the quote unquote leak from yesterday that the NFL would accept a 6-8 game suspension if that is what Sue L. Robinson decided on?
Well, my first reaction was they were trying to rope-a-dope her into implementing a 6-8 game suspension so they could appeal it and do whatever they wanted to do. That's the power they have. They don't waive their appeal rights. They don't waive their rights. These are collectively bargained rights, and the NFL holds them over the head of the union, primarily around the union, that we have this power. And if you don't like it, there's one way to change it, and that is to go to the collective bargaining table and make a concession to us, and then we'll make a concession to you if you want this power to be changed. So I thought the revision to the entire procedure in 2020, it was hocus pocus to me. It was form over substance. Yeah, we have an independent voice, but the commissioner still has final say. And as long as she imposes any discipline, they can appeal her decision and the commissioner can do whatever he wants to do. Now, he can't make new findings, but he can still say, I want to impose a higher level of discipline based upon the discipline that was imposed by her. So that was my first reaction. Then somebody pushed back on the report from the unnamed source that the NFL would likely not appeal a 6-8 game suspension. The pushback was, no, that's not true. The NFL's holding out for at least a 1-year suspension. So I don't know what's going on with that. And it just suggests to me that there are people in the league office who aren't on the same page. And maybe somebody went rogue with the first nugget or went rogue with the second one. But there may be some discrepancy and disagreement as to the best way to handle all of this. And also, here's the other side of it too. Judge Robinson, I firmly believe, told everybody on Tuesday morning, the first day of the hearing, no leaks, no dribs and drabs, nothing that would undermine this process in any way. And somebody who was a federal judge for 25 years knows how to speak to people in a way that gets them to listen. And there's a chance that they showed up today and she asked them pointedly about the report from the AP about no appeal if there's a 6-8 game suspension, and maybe the NFL felt compelled to try to push back. I don't know, but it's a weird little unexpected wrinkle at the time when we're not getting really anything from what happened on Tuesday or on Wednesday. To have that hanging out there is strange, but I think ultimately it points to a level of disconnect at 345 Park Avenue.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, joins us. And Mike, that's you were going kind of going into the decision-making process there. And I know, I think there are, I've talked to people who are confused, who ultimately just want to know, flat out, whenever ultimately this decision is made, they've said there's so many different ways that they handle things now, and they're doing it different than it was. Who ultimately will make the decision? Who ultimately has the most power? And when we say Deshaun has been suspended 6 games or Deshaun was suspended for a year, ultimately the person or the entity that makes that decision is who?
Well, there are two people who have a significant amount of power. And as a threshold matter, Judge Robinson has the power to block any action by the league if she imposes no discipline on Deshaun Watson at all. That's the only way that Roger Goodell has no say in this. After Judge Robinson imposes a decision, if there's any discipline that is implemented, that's when the commissioner is the most powerful person, because he can take 2, 3, 4 games and make it into whatever he wants to make it into. Now, there's got to be some reasonable basis for it, and it may get a little bit tricky, and it's awkward, and there may be litigation on the back end. Who knows? But the way that this is written up, it used to be the commissioner was the judge, jury, and executioner and the appeals officer. Now he's not the jury, but he's still in charge of the appeal. And either side can appeal. If it's a 6-game suspension, Deshaun Watson can appeal it because I want it to be lower. And the league can appeal it to Goodell saying I want it to be higher. And I don't know what the NFL is trying to do here with this notion that there are multiple different entities falling under the shield. You've got the commissioner, you've got the league. The league is the commissioner. That's the one thing we have to remember. The league goes into this insisting on a suspension of at least 1 year. That directive ultimately comes from the commissioner. So at the end of the day, the commissioner appeals back to the commissioner. Oh, gee, I am the one who gets to decide whether or not what I want is what I get. Let me take it under advisement as to whether I will give myself that which I want. I mean, it's laughable when you think of it. Now, some of it may be done for the benefit of PR, where the NFL overshoots and then Judge Robinson comes in to a certain level, and then maybe Roger Goodell finds a middle ground between what the league originally wanted and what Judge Robinson did. There could be some PR machinations in that regard. But once Judge Robinson imposes any discipline on Deshaun Watson or any other player, if and when this procedure happens in the future, the commissioner is the one who has all the power.
But I want to get this straight from you, Mike. If, let's say, Sue L. Robinson comes in and says, hey, there are no criminal charges being placed on Deshaun Watson. This is he said, she said. I deem that there is no penalty here and there will be no suspension. Deshaun Watson would play week 1 immediately, and there is nothing that the league or the commissioner could do. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. Now, I think it's more likely that, well, I think it's more likely if she imposes no discipline, it would be based upon the argument that the union plans to advance, that the discipline has to be proportional to owners who have run afoul of the personal conduct policy. And even if he did something that constituted a violation, they didn't sufficiently punish others, so he doesn't get punished at all. But either way, whatever her reasoning for not imposing discipline, that seals off any opportunity for Roger Goodell or anyone else with the league to change the outcome if she says no discipline whatsoever.
Mike, outside the sheer number of complaints or plaintiffs, however you want to couch these lawsuits, outside of that, what is – I mean, you've covered the league forever. I mean, I played in the league for a short stint. I mean, I've been around it and covered it for a long time. My knowledge of what goes on a day-to-day basis and kind of the mindset of a locker room, I think, is a little bit different than the general public. But what part of what Sue L. Robinson is reviewing right now, outside of the number 24, do you think is the most damning that could potentially cost Deshaun Watson a year's worth of eligibility? Eligibility is not right. A year's worth of football. You get it.
The key is the 5 cases that the NFL has identified where it believes there is corroboration, some contemporaneous text messages or social media activity or said something to someone that makes it something stronger than he said, she said. And look, even if he said, she said, that doesn't cancel out. It doesn't become irrelevant. If you have someone who says up, having someone else who says down doesn't make it flat in the middle. One person can be more believable than the other person. And that's part of the job of what the legal system calls the finder of fact, whether it's a jury in a jury trial or a judge in what they call a bench trial or a situation like this, where the judge is the person who is evaluating the evidence, determining who's telling the truth and who isn't telling the truth. And the reality is, at some point, Sean Watson is going to sit there and answer questions posed by the NFL, questions posed by the NFLPA, and maybe some questions posed by Judge Robinson. And after 25 years on the bench and years before that practicing law, she has been lied to by every shape, size, and type of human being out there. Every job, whether it's a high-end position or a low-end job, every type of witness you can imagine has made its way onto a witness stand or into a deposition setting and told a lie, and she has learned how to smoke out people who are lying and people who are telling the truth. So she can conclude that I just don't believe this guy when he answers these questions. I don't buy it. I think he did it. I think he's trying to cover it up. And, you know, that's the problem. When people wander into the legal system for the first time and they have their first encounter, they don't realize how much the people who have years of experience understand the game. It's not the first rodeo for Judge Robinson. And it makes it all the more difficult for someone, whether it's Deshaun Watson, whether it's one of the individuals, if they have gotten five of these individuals who are going to show up and testify, and again, they're keeping it all close to the vest. But Judge Robinson isn't going to be outsmarted by anyone in this process. So just keep that in mind, too. The corroborating evidence is useful, but also he said, she said. There can be one side that is very believable and the other side that isn't. And that could be enough for Judge Robinson to conclude that Deshaun Watson did it. And if she concludes he did it as the one, right, if you have a silver bullet as the one, aren't you more likely to conclude that the rest of them are telling the truth, too? Why would all these people come together and lie about Deshaun Watson? And if you conclude he's not telling you the truth about one of them, then it's more likely that he's not telling the truth about any of them.
Yeah, Mike, I'm looking at this thing kind of how you started this interview, right? I think you brought up Ray Rice and how the NFL and Roger Goodell, hell, he almost lost his job over that Ray Rice. I mean, that is the... I'm not talking about Sue L. Robinson. Obviously, I don't know her history in terms of what kind of decisions she's made in the past. But a guy like Roger Goodell, who could watch that video and know what went on and give him two games and then turn around and when the video goes viral, all of a sudden he's banned from the league. That is a different mindset and a different way of seeing things and a different way of making a decision than what the court of public opinion is. That's where I was going. Like, what in the Deshaun Watson situation is something like in the public, just anybody out there listening right now looks at it and goes, man, that's terrible. I can't believe that happened. Roger Goodell looks at a lot of this and deals with a lot of this on a lot more consistent basis than the Joe Blow out here riding, going back to the office from lunch.
Right. But what happened in 2014 was that the Ray Rice case was the latest example of a situation where the NFL would defer to the outcome of the criminal justice system. So the outcome of the criminal justice system in Ray Rice's case was the deferred, what do they call that thing? The diversion program, the deferred prosecution. You enter into a separate procedure under the criminal justice system where if you stay out of trouble for X period of time, it's like it never even happened. So they, at the league office, mistakenly assumed that because the prosecutor allowed that to happen, that it must have been no big deal. That if they're okay with it, then we should be okay with it. That's where they made their mistake. Because the scrutiny that gets directed to a prosecutor is far different than the scrutiny that's going to get directed to a guy like Roger Goodell if the perception is that they didn't go far enough. And remember, they claimed they didn't have the video at all up until – TMZ got its hands on it. They claimed they had no power to get it, which I still think is ludicrous. All they had to say to Ray Rice was, your lawyer's got it in his files. You tell your lawyer, your files are my property. I want that video because the NFL wants to see it. So they learned the hard way through that example with Ray Rice that they can't worry about what the criminal justice system did. They need to make their own decision based upon how the public is going to react to the facts of the case and the NFL's handling of the facts of the case. So that makes this one difficult because it's not like there's some smoking gun piece of evidence out there that's going to make people say, oh my God, I can't believe he didn't do it. This is one of those where you've got reasonable minds differing on what it is that happened and is there enough proof, and you've got, and it's a shame it's become one of those issues where you can both sides it, but that makes it tougher for the NFL to pick the right outcome, because there, maybe there's a sweet spot somewhere, maybe there isn't. Maybe no matter what you do, you're going to get criticized by one side or the other. Maybe you're going to get criticized by both sides, by one who says you didn't go far enough and the other saying, how dare you do this to Deshaun Watson when there's no conclusive proof he did anything wrong. Wasn't arrested, wasn't charged, leave this guy alone. It's a tough spot for the league to be in.
All right, Mike Florio here with us. We appreciate you jumping on with us. As we'll learn more as this hearing continues, we're hearing it potentially could extend until Thursday, and then possibly a couple of weeks after that, we'll hear what the decision is. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Thanks, guys. Have a safe and happy 4th of July weekend.
Same thing to you as well. Mike Florio, NBC Sports, Pro Football Talk. You can catch him every day on that. Yeah, man. Interesting thing. Like I said, from the jump, I've just wondered, like, who has the power? Who is ultimately going to make this? We've heard all of this because I know we played audio the other day where Tyler's had found the audio. Yeah, Goodell ultimately has the power at the end, but does, like, who is it? So, like, the deal is, if they want to push for a year and Goodell has the power, then it's going to be a year. And the only way he doesn't have any influence is if Sue L. Robinson goes no games, no punishment, and then the league can't do anything.
I don't know. I'm clearly not posing my question the right way, and clearly, I just the same guy that looked at the Ray Rice video and said, "Yeah, we're going to give him two games," is the guy that ultimately holds the keys to what's going to happen to Deshaun Watson. And there's nothing in the Deshaun Watson, other than being 24 of them, and it's just like that's just eye popping, and you go
and time.
Boom, got him. That's right there. We cannot let that right there slide. I know what happened. It's not he said, she said. It happened, damn it. We got to drop the hammer on him. The same guy that watched that video, the same guy that watched Kareem Hunt and let him back in the league, the same guy that listened to Tyreek Hill threaten and literally angrily talk about how the female that he allegedly had beat before should be scared of him. Kind of deal. The same guy that made that decision and allowed those guys to move forward and play sooner rather than later is the guy that is ultimately the guy and the individuals that are looking at what Deshaun Watson has done. And that's different than my mom looking at it and going, he's guilty as hell, you know, drop the hammer on him. He couldn't be.
I'm going to come over there and whoop that ass.
And I just, those are the people that I just don't have a hell of a lot of confidence in holding folks accountable.
Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up next. A major, major part, and going to be a major part in my life coming up for the Texans season. Clint gets into it about, is he able, Jonathan Greenard, able to do these four critical things coming up this season? We'll discuss that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.